everybody. Welcome back to Gamer Heroes. I am Derek, one of your two gaming weekly-ish hosts. I got my buddy John with me. How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, glad to be back. My normal statement. We've been doing a lot of streaming, so I'm glad. Hopefully you guys have been catching in on some of those streams.
Yeah, we have. We've been doing lots of stuff. We've been doing some of the Overwatch Retribution event and some Mystery Heroes on that side. We did Left 4 Dead 2 and Borderlands 2. And yeah. I guess next week we're going to be doing Diablo 3. So, yeah. But we got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about the Rampage movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We'll be talking a little bit about some Overwatch news and then some games that we've been playing recently, including Nine Parchments, A Way Out, and God of War 4. So, yeah, so just to kind of explain the streaming stuff that we've been doing. So we do this show every other week now. Every other Wednesday, you get a new episode of Gamer Heroes. And on the alternating weeks, you can join us live at night on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts, where we stream some games.
It'll be the games. We're just going to try some different games, guys. So sometimes it'll be popular games that you've heard of, and sometimes it'll be games you've never heard of.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We've been having a good time with it. We're going to be doing Diablo 3 on PC this next week, which is a big deal because while we've all played Diablo 3, John, you've never played it on PC, right?
Not on PC. I've always played it on the PlayStation 4, which I know I've been missing out.
Well, I've played it on both because, you know, the PS4 has got the local co-op, which is really great. But I've played it on PC the most. And I did just pick up for this occasion, I picked up the Necromancer pack, which I have not played yet. So I'm going to be a little new as far as class is concerned. So should be a good time. We're going to be doing it with our buddy Ryan, who is a co-host with me on the Screen Heroes podcast and has been streaming with us. And I believe our streaming partner from last week, Brian, will be back to join us as well.
So, great. Yeah, that should be really good. We had some good streaming going on with him a couple times on Overwatch. I want to see him play a different couple other games.
Yeah. He plays lots of stuff, so it should be a good time. But, alright, well, speaking of Overwatch, though, we'll dive into our one piece of news for the week, which is Symmetra is being completely rebuilt, seemingly from the ground up, and she is no longer going to be a support character.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
You sound excited.
I don't really play Symmetra, so she's not really my character, but we'll talk about some of the... You read the details. You'll talk about some of the changes they're planning on making. But I never thought she really fit in as a support character. I kind of thought she was more of like a defense character to begin with.
Well, that was the thing. So she's always been support since she launched, but she's the only support character that literally does zero healing. So for those who are unfamiliar with who Symmetra is essentially the Green Lantern of the Overwatch world. She creates these constructs out of light. And those might be laser turrets that are great to put in doorways and bottleneck areas to basically they're automated turrets, kind of like Torbjorn's, but they shoot lasers and they can mount on walls and stuff. And then she has the ability to create her teleporter and her shield. The teleporter, of course, is a really great one for getting your teammates from respawn to the point or closer to the point anyway. Or it's also a great way to troll people, which the only time I've ever reported anybody on Overwatch is when someone on my own team was using the teleporter to make all of us fall off the map.
See, that's just being a dick. Yeah, so, like, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That's just being a dick.
So I reported them for that because that was obviously very intentional and very frustrating. But so Symmetra is the only support character that doesn't heal. All of the other supports heal to some degree, even if they have some other abilities, like Ana, for example. So they're going to be moving her to defense, which is definitely more where she seems to fit, which is what you said, of course. So there's very little information right now about what that would be. More or less, they're going to completely rework the character. So I would imagine this is going to take a while, a few iterations. She's probably not going to be super balanced when she's first moved over to defense. But I don't know if we're going to see new moves or not. Maybe she'll get completely new skill sets and new abilities. She does have two ultimates, which I believe she's the only character that has two. So maybe they'll take one away or keep it that way. I don't know.
So I guess the major question is, does that affect the Overwatch League?
Well, right now, no, I don't believe anybody plays as Symmetra in the Overwatch League. So this, this might change things up a bit, depending on how she's altered. But it does kind of answer, a lot of people were curious, myself included, why they kept adding support characters as the new characters. Anna is one.
They're kind of capped out.
Vegeta is one, and Moira. So three new characters are support characters. Now I guess we know why, because they were going to actually move a character away from support. So there you go.
I don't think they planned that. I think it was just, they probably decided, like we said, they have too many support characters.
I mean, maybe. I think Symmetra's never fit under support.
No.
You know, when the game first launched, it was a little unclear because we weren't sure how new characters were going to be added. But after adding three more support characters, all of which are much more traditionally support role, then this was more and more of an outlier. So it's not super surprising, but it is the first time a character will have changed classes in Overwatch, which is interesting.
Well, that, I mean, what else are they going to do? They just released a character, you know, within a month. So I think it's probably a good, and you know, this might be the first of a few other reworks that, I don't think they're going to be switching characters around left and right, but I know they're reworking, you said her shield, right? Her generator shield that she produces.
Well, I don't know. There's really no information yet on what they're going to do. It was more of a, I'm guessing they may make some tweaks to those things. For all I know, they'll give her completely new skill sets. I have no idea.
That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, at least they're keeping it fresh. They're on top of it and releasing a ton of new content all the time, it seems. So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it for our news. We just got the one thing this week, not a big deal. We wanted to spend most of the time talking about the games we've been playing and the Rampage movie. All right. So, do you want to talk about Rampage next then? I think we should dive right into the movie.
Yeah, it's already been brought up. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So, Rampage is, of course, a video game movie loosely based on the video games of the same name. Stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who has become quickly kind of the 80s action star of the 21st century, as it were.
Yeah, that's a good description.
I know we don't really do movies much on this show here, but it is a video game movie after all, so I figured we should talk a little bit about it. As people who listen to Screen Heroes know, I do like to talk numbers. I'm a big fan of that. And to date, this is, of course, we're recording Monday evening, so this does not include Monday's numbers. It has made $283.3 million worldwide.
That's a lot.
Only $65.7 domestically.
Domestically, which is always low.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, it's performing, I mean, just fine. It had a $120 million budget. So it's obviously made that back, which is good news from a financial perspective.
It's Warner Brothers. You know? It's Warner Brothers. They need this.
It has not done amazing at the box office. It won its opening weekend, not by much. It beat A Quiet Place, which was in its second weekend. But this weekend, Rampage's second week, A Quiet Place's third week, and Rampage lost to A Quiet Place. So there you go.
A Quiet Place is an excellent film. And Rampage is just all around fun. So let's talk impressions. All
right, let's talk. Okay, go ahead.
So yeah, you want me to go first?
You to go first.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. You see the trailer, and you know the game, and the first thing you go is, that is freaking stupid. And you know what? I was pleasantly surprised. It was actually a lot of fun. And it's a movie that doesn't take itself serious, and I think that's what contributes to it being fun. They know they're being ridiculous, so they just roll with the punches. And it's not meant to be. It's not that kind of movie. I think it's come back to a point where every movie is trying to be serious and trying to establish something, and they just said, no, we're not going to do that this time. And I think it was a nice, refreshing break from the serious, we're going to make a trilogy off of this crap kind of thing. So, but given the game literally has no story, so the movie had no source material, they made a story. And I think it worked in their favor, to be honest with you. By having no source material, they were able to make a story that was cohesive for their movie.
Fair enough, fair enough. I guess we should probably give a spoiler warning at this point. If you have not seen Rampage yet and you care about character plot points, this would be a good spot to kind of pause and maybe jump ahead 10 or 15 minutes to our next segment. I mean, look, man, I agree with you. It's a fun movie. It's a silly movie. You kind of know that going into it. I mean, the movie starts in outer space.
Yeah. And since the spoiler has already been, he's already gave you an alert, there's a freaking rat. They're running around from a mutated rat.
Which, by the way, I love this. So for those who don't know much about the video game aspect of this, the Rampage franchise has actually been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
The first game came out on the original NES, the original Nintendo, in 1986, and it hasn't changed really a whole lot since then. There's been 6 total games over the years, with one of those being a kind of like a Dr. Mario puzzler bejeweled kind of weird thing. But the last game actually was in 2006, so it's definitely time for a new one. But the rat, a lot of people are actually thinking the rat is Larry, who is one of the beasts from the Atari version of the original 1986 game.
That's hilarious. I like it.
You could play as a giant rat. So that would be a pretty funny little throwback.
I believe they did put that kind of thought into it, because they even made a line when they were like, ha, the weirdos online are calling him Ralph.
Yeah.
For the ape. When his name's George in the film.
Right.
But yeah, I think they had some good intentions. They definitely knew what they were doing.
Well, and I mean, come on, man. When you're in her office, you know,
oh, yeah.
Behind her, this is Claire Wyden. Claire Wyden, she's
yes.
the CEO of this big company, and they're the bad guys, of course. She's played by Malin Ackerman from Watchmen, of course, along with Jeffrey
Which
Dean
we have
Morgan.
Something to talk about on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of Warner Brothers weird stuff going on.
A lot of DC heroes involved.
But behind her, though, not behind her, but behind the guy playing her brother, what's his name? Jake Lacey. Behind Jake Lacey, you can see 2 arcade cabinets and their old Rampage games.
Yep. That was genius.
So, like, okay, so I want to know what this conversation was. So she's like, hey, we should make this serum that makes animals go crazy. Okay, what should we call it? Well, you know, I've got these really cool arcade games about monsters going crazy. They're called Rampage. Let's just call it that.
I don't know if that's what... I have no idea.
That's what it felt
They
like.
Don't strike me as the playing game kind of type people. It was clearly for us, the audience.
Oh,
but,
I don't know, man. She seems very competitive. I bet she plays a lot of games.
She also seems super controlling, and I don't think games will let her control. You get what I'm saying?
I don't know. Maybe that's her way to kind of let loose, just destroy a bunch of buildings with giant monsters.
Or just shoot people. She shot a few people.
She did shoot.
She shot Rock in the stomach.
She shot the Rock, man. Yeah.
But no, it's really good. It's very, it's a PG-13 movie, but, and there's not like crazy gore and there's not very much cussing, but there are some pretty funny one-liners.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's got a bunch of those really cheesy action star one-liner kind of things, you know, but let me ask you this. Was there ever a point in the movie where you were like a little sad that somebody or something was about to die?
Honestly, I know what you're trying to get at, and no, I did not feel bad for George.
You heartless son of a bitch.
Let me tell you why. So in the end, he's kind of like a hero, right? Everyone's like, oh, George, and they're all just kind of like, laughing, and he, you know, he switched sides mid-fight. He also killed a lot of people before he even got to that point. And it's like, he's a hero. He did this for everyone. I'm like, yeah, but he also killed and flew through tanks and buses all across the city before that when he was trying to get to the radio
all
signal.
Right, man. I gotta ask. In Civil War, whose side were you on?
Oh, I was definitely... I'm on Iron Man's side. Okay. Cap is just being a little... I'm gonna be honest with you, just a little bitch. He's so, my friend. Because I mean, who's think he's about like it. He's my friend who happens to be a terrorist who can kill anyone if they say a special sequence of words that everyone seems to know.
So okay, so isn't George just saying. George is basically the Winter Soldier?
George is the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, think about it. Right, he was mind controlled by the serum and the sonic waves and killed a bunch of people, and then we found the antidote to bring him back to his good old happy self, and he's a hero again.
I just don't think it just excuses all the murder.
That's what I'm saying, though, right? Like, he's the Winter Soldier.
You guys literally leveled Chicago. And it's like, nah, he's good. He's George.
He's George.
He gets to stay that way, too. Like, they didn't pretty much, like, in the end, they're just like, yeah, he'll just go somewhere. What is he going to go to Jurassic World? Yeah. He's going to go to their island? He'll fit right in.
Well, I know that Legendary and Universal are trying to do this big, like, monster movie thing, you know, with King Kong and Godzilla and the kaiju with the Jaegers and all that kind of stuff. Maybe George will show up there.
I'm not gonna lie. Godzilla will whoop George. Whoop him.
Did you notice? I mean,
he was getting his ass handed by a fucking gator, okay? Which was way too big for its size.
Dude, anyways. That thing was not a gator. That was a dinosaur.
It should not have been that big. Like, because you look comparatively, George was the smallest one. The wolf was actually bigger than George.
Well, so think about this, though. Think about the exposure to the chemical.
I know, he ate the whole thing. That's what me and Hillary were talking about. The gator ate the whole thing where they just kind of whiffed in some of it.
But George was the smallest by a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
You know, definitely yeah. The underdog of the fight. I mean,
I would imagine the wolf too. Would be smaller, but yeah, the wolf was actually bigger than him.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was fun. I don't know. I thought it was fun. A good time. It's clearly like, I mean, it did. People can slam video game adaptations all they want. They're usually pretty bad. There's some exceptions. But let's face it, Rampage is a video game where some giant monsters destroy buildings and get power-ups and can attack tanks and eat people. That's exactly what happened without the power-ups, right?
They definitely did that correctly.
So, like, it's the same freaking thing, right? So, like the movie, don't like the movie, you can't say they strayed real far from the game.
Well, they expanded, actually, because they didn't have a story. So, they expanded on it.
Yeah.
So back to the heroes thing. You've got Joe Manganiello, who's Deathstroke. You've got, what's his name? Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who's the comedian, okay? Who's basically just playing Negan, except in this movie. he did the smile and the sideways look thing he does, and the very sarcastic but right guy. You had Silk Spectre, and then you had Black Adam. I was like, what is going on here? DC characters.
It was a weird group, and then Naomi Harris is in here, just totally separate from all of these just DC here. People. So I wonder if she's going to be cast in, like, the Birds of Prey movie or something like that.
No, she's Starfire, didn't you know? I'm just kidding.
Dude, that'd be so cool. I love Starfire.
That would be cool, but no, Joe Manganiello did not last very long in the film, because in the trailer, there's like, it makes it seem like he's a big part of it. He gets killed so quick.
I was so surprised how fast he died. Because like, so at the end, right, so all of his other guys are dead. It's just him, you know, and the beast is right behind him. I'm like, all right, so he's going to get like really messed up. And then in like the third act, they're going to I thought they were going to do Anaconda. Do you remember Anaconda?
No, please, God, no.
So for those who don't remember Anaconda, that cinematic masterpiece.
Ice Cube, Jennifer Lopez.
John Voight gets eaten by the snake in like the beginning of the second act or something like that. It's been a long time. And then at the end of the movie, the snake throws him up. And he's just like all like mutilated and like melting and everything. And the snake whips its tail around and just mushes him. Like he's just like gook, like mashed potatoes. It's so disgusting. So like I was kind of wondering if they were gonna do something like that where like in the third act Joe like cuts his way out of the wolf or something.
I mean, that would have been cool. That would have been very Deathstroke of him.
Right?
but yeah, he basically just looks like Deathstroke in this movie, too. Like he did in the end of the Justice League. He's got the goatee and the gray hair.
I think that's just kind of how he looks now, man. Like, without, like, the weird scars and veins and stuff. Like,
right. Just like his hair. And the one eye, yeah.
I think that's just what he looks like now.
You know, he's just naturally Deathstroke.
I mean, that's just how he looks. Like, he's in really good shape, but, you know, he's in his 40s, so he's got some gray going on. I mean, he looks pretty damn good to me. I don't know.
He looked rugged. His character was rugged, though, so
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But, he's fine. Yeah, overall, you know, when we saw the reviews and it was split amongst the critics, but the user reviews were extremely high, I knew I was going to like it.
You have to know what you're getting yourself into, right? Like, you want to go see Rampage, you have to realize what it is. It's a monster movie. You know, there's going to be giant monsters wrecking people up and a couple of humans trying to save the day where they probably don't belong. You know?
Well, I like how The Rock's like, I'm going to go up against these two beasts with just 5 grenades.
Come on, man. When he's holding the grenade launcher and George is right there and they square off against the giant dinosaur thing, you know, and he's like, yeah. You ready, George? Let's do this.
I'm like, I know. Yeah. I was like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, let's do this.
Like, what are you going to do?
Like, you're not even Batman in the Doomsday fight, man. Right. Like, come on.
George was doing all the work, man, hitting him with beams and tanks. And
I did like the throwing of the grenade belt into, right, like, the weird ear hole of the alligator creature.
It was gills. It was like gills.
But, yeah. Okay, let's go back to these creatures here just for a minute, because it was throwing me off. So, the wolf can fly, and it can grow, like, porcupine spines that it can chuck, yes, off of its tail. The alligator creature turned into, like, this spiked dinosaur with, a hammer tail. George just got bigger.
Yeah, I was just about to say, George was just George.
Right? He was always an albino, so he didn't even change color. He's exactly the same, just larger.
So here's something that I kind of put two and two together. The Rampage game, it was a gorilla, but I don't think it was an albino. The only time there was ever an albino was in Primal Rage.
Interesting.
I was wondering if they were trying to bridge those two and say, hey, Primal Rage, Rampage, same shit. I mean, and essentially they kind of are, except you get to play as it's like Mortal Kombat with creatures.
I don't know. Like, so I'm not,
because it's a gorilla. It's like a wolf type creature, and then there is that giant alligator.
Well, yeah. So those are the big three characters. So I mean, Lizzie is the giant alligator dinosaur thing. You've got Ralph the wolf, and then George the gorilla. Like that's mm-hmm. who they always were. But like, I'm not good with colors. Anyone who listens to the show, I'm kind of colorblind.
He was a normal. I mean, I guess there is a white ape. I'm surprised they. Okay, I get it. I'm looking at the thing, but on the cover, if you just look at the cover, it's a more resemble King Kong than it is a white ape, an albino.
I don't really pay much attention to the color stuff because I don't know if I'm ever seeing the right color, so I try to ignore it a little bit. So you know, I never really noticed what color they were. But yeah, I mean, there's some other iterations of the game that has some other characters, like the mouse, for example, in the Atari version and stuff like that.
Right.
But those are the big three, and that's what they did here, which I think makes perfect sense. But I mean, they kept George alive and they made him a good guy, so I feel like they did want a sequel.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they did a sequel, I don't know how successful it would be, considering, you know, I felt like this was kind of a one-off.
Fair enough.
But the N64 one had more expansive characters.
Well, yeah, because you could play 2. 4 at the same time on the same screen. Yeah. That was pretty sweet. That was the one I played most of the time.
That's the one I played the most, too. I mean, we've all played the arcade-style Rampage. And there was also Rampage World Tour.
I never got to play it in an arcade, which I always regretted.
I did, and it was a lot of fun. Played in an old bowling alley in Chicago. They had that. They had Mortal Kombat. They had Primal Rage. It's a good arcade.
Yeah. But, all right, well, let's move back to other video game stuff then. We'll move on to are what we've been playing recently. So, John, you've been playing a lot more than I have. I've just been playing Nine Parchments. But why don't we start you off with one of the two games you've been checking out?
So, I picked up a game. Me and my wife were wanting to play a co-op game. And we had been looking around and looking around. And then it finally hit me. I was like, oh, crap. There's that game that came out that I totally forgot about. It's called A Way Out. And if you guys saw, there was a lot of hype about it at... When was the last... Was it E3 last year? There was a lot of hype about this game. And I totally forgot about it. And we saw it on the PlayStation Network. It was only $30, $29.99. And it is actually a local co-op only. You cannot play online. The game has to be completed local co-op. And it requires a second player. So it is excellent. It is like playing Escape from Alcatraz meets, I don't know, I'm just trying to, it's like a whole bunch of movies mixed in one, and it's actually written by a couple directors that have done a lot of escape movies. And the game, you follow two characters. I believe it's Vince and, gosh, I can't remember the other guy's name, but either way, so it starts you off in prison. And, of course, there are things you need to do, but they explain the plan, and then you need to basically execute the plan. So a part of the game is you need to get on the roof to get a tool that the maintenance man left. So what you'll do is you'll talk to some of the prison people, and you'll figure out who's doing a shift on the roof. And then, so one of you will, once you get on the roof, you'll talk to the guard and say, hey, can I help? And while you're distracting the guard, the other one's getting the object. So that's kind of the whole mantra of the game. You're kind of doing that back and forth. There are some really good team moments where you're climbing up an elevator shaft and you're going back to back. And you're just kind of crawling one leg at a time. You get what I'm saying? Where they're back to back. And you guys got to coordinate your buttons to move your legs.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's actually it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
once you guys actually escape and you get out, it's a whole nother plot line of getting back at the guy. Because the only reason you guys became friends in prison was because you had this common guy that got you both in prison. So the game now then becomes like a heist game. And you're going after this mobster. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So anyways... For $29.99, it is endless fun, and it is something you can do with someone locally, on local co-op, with your friend, your girlfriend, your brother.
Yeah, man. It's really an interesting idea, because, I mean, this is something that EA helped publish, and to have them put out a game that requires two people to play together in the same
Very
room.
Very risky. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, personally, so... It actually outsold their projections. It doubled their projections. They were only expecting to sell 250,000 copies. They sold well over 500,000 copies.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a huge deal because, I mean, it's a very – not only is it inexpensive. I mean, we're talking the game is only $29.99, okay? And it requires local co-op. It was a very risky move. It really was. Like, I really think – to require something like that, it's kind of innovative in a sense where we're in a time of age where everything is online and people are asking constantly, we need more local co-op, we need more local co-op. And here's what they did. They said, you know what? You're only going to get local co-op. And I think it's genius. And I hope this paves the way. I hope this paves the way for more games like this. Because it's not like they just put a game together where the whole game, I mean, essentially the whole game is wrapped around the co-op part of it. But it is actually a very good story.
Yeah, it's a really cool concept. I'm always looking for co-op games because the girl and I like to play together. And that's why we've been playing Nine Parchments. So I think we've got a couple other games we're looking at, but A Way Out is on our short list of games to play next.
I recommend it 100%. It is... At the minimum, you'll at least enjoy the story, even if the game plays a little hard.
Yeah, but that's it's important to be able to do these types of things, because we can't I mean, not... what's the best way? Like, owning multiple PlayStation 4s in the same house is not the average thing that people can do, right? And it's not really what I want to do. I don't want to play in two separate rooms across the house. You know, I want to hang out and play together on the same thing and, you know, eat some snacks or whatever while we're playing and have a good time. Like, it's like, you know, like social interaction time. So I'm really excited to have that type of local co-op experience. It's what gravitates me to Nintendo so much, is that they've always focused on local experiences. So this sounds really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I totally forgot about it. It totally fell off my radar. Like, for a while there, I know it was talked about and they're like, oh, EA's next big game. And I totally forgot about it. And then I saw it, like, you know what I mean? I just kind of browsing through the PS store and I was like, oh crap. I totally forgot about that game. And it's got very good reviews. I mean, it's sitting at a Metacritic score of 78%, 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
So it's doing really well.
Awesome. Well, so like I said, I've been playing Nine Parchments on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
And we just beat it last night. So on Sunday night, we beat it, which was cool. And man, so there is just so much I like about this game, and then a good amount that's a little frustrating. But Nine Parchments is a game by Frozen Byte, developed and published by, it's an indie title available on multiple platforms, but it's on Switch now. It's $19.99, so it's a really, really affordable price. And it's basically a Diablo style game where it's, you know, third person sort of top down RPG type game where you play as wizards and there's different characters you can unlock as you play. And you gain these, the nine parchments that you're looking for, each one gives you a new spell that you can wield. And these are from different elements. So there's fire and lightning, life, death, ice, and I believe there's another one I'm drawing a blank.
Now, these, you need these to progress the story.
Right. So basically what happens in the beginning of the game is you are these like wizard students and there's an explosion at your castle and these nine parchments are basically caught in the wind and strewn throughout the land and you have to go collect them. And as you actually collect them, you get to learn those spells and get these powers. And the enemies you come up against, these creatures, some are like, you know, giant bugs or giant like bisons with horns or guys with shields and they shoot lasers and throw fireballs and electricity and stuff. And you have to be able to adjust your spells to match. So someone who's shooting fire, you using fire won't do any damage. You got to use, you know, ice powers or something like that. And as you progress through the game, some will be multicolored. So they might have multiple things. So they might be, you know, fire and ice. So you have to come up with something totally different to use against them, which is super cool.
Well, and it keeps it interesting because then you get that dynamic and you get to use a bunch of different spells. See what works, find out what the weakness is.
And you get different staffs throughout the game that you find, like different, you know, like wizard staffs, and they have different abilities. Some might help you regen things faster or something like that. There's an upgrade tree with points that you earn when you level up. And overall, it's just a really fun, enjoyable game. The mechanics are super solid. The way it works is great. Being able to cycle through your abilities and use them, it feels good to play. My biggest complaint is that certain parts of the game are, what's the word I'm looking for? Improportionally difficult. So we might be going through...
Improportionally difficult. What does that mean?
So like we'll be going through a part of the game and just blazing through people, just like totally kicking ass. And then we'll come up against a group that just destroys us instantly.
Yeah. See, I wonder why that is. Do you think it's like the... It's unequal when it picks its... I don't know, like the computer calculates?
No, because we end up figuring it out, but it's more of a balancing problem where the game is just difficult randomly, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, and I mean, the boss battles get more difficult as the game progresses, and that's fine. That's expected. But it's the stuff in between where you're going through the normal map and you'll just show up in a particular area that just wipes the floor with you. And you know, you can learn it pretty quickly because they more or less respawn in the same spots. So you can kind of figure out where you need to go and coordinate ahead of time. But if you're not you know, if you're going into an area for the first time, you know, it may be super easy and it may be super difficult. It just kind of depends. There is a cool friendly fire mode. So friendly fire is a thing. It's real. And there's a flag you can switch in the settings that changes it from your friendly fire hurts your ally to your friendly fire bounces back and hurts you.
That makes sense. They got to add that extra level of difficulty there, don't they?
Well, I actually found that to be the better way to play because it makes you more aware of when you're hitting your teammate. So, like, when there's a bunch of shit going on and there's just monsters everywhere and you're shooting lasers or fireballs or you've got, like, AoE effects going on, it's hard to kind of keep track of where each other is. And it's really easy to end up hitting each other. And it's much easier to notice that if you're the one losing health.
Right.
So I actually preferred to play it that way. I thought that was a really unique way to look at how that's done. I'm not sure if it's going to be this week or next week, but I'm going to put together a pretty in-depth review of the game with a bunch of screenshots and stuff, because this game is goddamn beautiful.
Yeah, no, the screenshots you've sent me... Well, no, you didn't send me... You told me to go check it out, and I actually looked it up when you were mentioning it, and yeah. And I'm a big fan of the Trine games, so I really like this. Their style of using... It's well thought out. Let me just put it there. I'll just say it's well thought out.
Yeah, but it's gorgeous. I mean, that's one thing. Like it, don't like it, the game is gorgeous. The scenery is beautiful. The monsters are cool. It just looks great. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. The final boss is pretty neat. I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody, but it was somewhat unexpected where the game turned. The last two big bosses are very different from the rest of the game, and that was both frustrating and fun at times. But, you know, she wants to go back through it and unlock more of the characters, so I guess we're not done yet.
Yeah, you got some more playing to do.
Yeah. All right, man, so why don't you tell us about God of War 4?
Yeah, man, this is the big game. If you haven't played it yet and you've heard everybody annoy the shit out of you by saying how amazing it really is. Like, I'm a big fan of the series anyway. God of War 3 was my jam on PS3, but it is great. Like, just the first boss fight alone is one of the things. It sets the pace. I don't want to give away too much, but it sets the pace of the game. So you're fighting Norse gods, and you kind of come up against this guy, and he looks like he's not capable of anything, and he's just kind of like a jackass. And Kratos, of course, is like, you know, let me put this guy down real quick. And it turns out he's one of the gods, and he can pack a punch. So the first fight, it just alone, sets the pace of the game. It's amazing. Let's talk about the mechanics. That's the most fun part of the whole game. So in the other God of War games, you basically, it was kind of like a slasher, more like Bloodborne. So you just kind of, you know, you yield your, I'm trying to remember what his weapons were called, but they're like hooks, you know, and you just kind of yield them around. You had the shield and you had the Medusa's head. You were fighting more Greek gods in that one. In this one, it's more Norse. So they're more realistic, more Viking-like, which is why Kratos kind of looks more Viking-like. But, dude, you can kick, you can punch, you can throw your axe, and it comes back to you like Thor's hammer. Like, it's freaking awesome. He's got a shield. You can hit him with shield. And you can work in those combos. You can do the same thing. So it's really, really cool. I'm trying not to give away too much. I haven't really dived into it as much as I wanted to. It's kind of a busy weekend. But next weekend and throughout this week, I'll be playing a lot.
I mean, it looks beautiful.
The whole
kind of like Thor style of how he can throw his axe and recall it is pretty freaking cool.
Which totally fits the tone of the game because, like I said, everything's more Vikings and Thor is actually a Viking, a Norse god. The Vikings believed in Thor and they used him for motivation as well during battle. Which makes sense that he'd be able to, that Kratos could do something like that. But it's beautiful.
Let me ask you this. How is the kid?
I haven't done much with the kid, but
okay.
I will tell you this. The game is heavily inspired by Last of Us. It is very much a Last of Us game. And
interesting.
It's not like a direct copy or duplicate, but it is very, it has the vibe of Last of Us, and everything you do and every movement and how you're going through the world is very much like that. Your dynamic with your son is very emotional in the beginning. I don't want to give it away because I really want you guys to go play. I want you to play the game. I want you to see the story. It's a very emotional beginning. In the beginning, you kind of see a different type of Kratos. Because Kratos, up until this point, is just like a badass who just fucking took out Zeus. And, he doesn't give a shit about anything or anyone. He just cares about himself and doing his own thing. Very different side of Kratos in this game. Very, very much different. So it's kind of like Joel in The Last of Us. He didn't give a shit about anybody. He didn't care about anything until he met Ellie. And it's very similar to that dynamic. I just say the game feels like Last of Us, but different. It's very good. And I know I keep saying that, but it really is. It's a Last of Us game, which is top three of my favorite games of all time.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, it sounds really great. I've never played a God of War game, so I'm pretty much in the dark on this one.
It doesn't even tie in. It's a completely different story. Like, you don't even need to play the other ones to know what's happening. He's in a different fucking region. Like, he's not even in the same region.
No, I know. Yeah, it's totally different with the Norse god aspect, which is great. And I'm very curious about it, but now's not the best time for that. I did just pick up, though, the original Red Dead Redemption.
That's great. It's like Grand Theft Auto in the Wild West.
Yeah, I got the Game of the Year edition with the Undead whatever expansion. And so I'll be playing that next because it's Xbox One backwards compatible. So I picked that up. I'll be playing that.
I was telling him, for those who have played it, I'm like, oh, you've got a lot of hours you're about to spend.
You got God of War. You're going to be playing that thing forever.
And I've got Mario Galaxy. I've got Zelda Breath of the Wild to beat. Like, I've got all of these open world games to beat.
You mean Mario Odyssey.
Odyssey. Sorry. I don't know why I always say Galaxy.
It's because you want to play Galaxy, though. Come on over. I've got it.
I feel like it's like Galaxy so much, but I have got my work cut out for me. So I'm just going to be – I'm going to play this one because it's my new – it's very – it's very hot right now for me. But sure, I'd say, man, the next game I want to play after I'm done with all of these, I probably want to play Hellblade, Senua's Revenge. Mm. Because that game not only looks beautiful, but I know the game, from everything I've heard, it was up there in the running for Game of the Year last year.
Yeah, yeah, and it sounds like God of War will be in the running for this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And sales-wise, it is right on pace for expectations, and it will probably beat expectations by the Christmas season.
Fair enough, man, fair enough.
That is definitely a fact.
All right, well, anything else you want to touch on before we close out today?
No, guys, if you are not doing anything next week on Wednesday, watch our live stream of Diablo 3 and watch me play as a barbarian. What are you going to pick? Have you picked a class?
I'm doing the Necromancer.
Necromancer. Yeah. Okay, I want to play Necromancer. I haven't quite played that one yet. So my first characters that I built were the monk and the... Oh, man, why am I drawing a blank? Is it the voodoo? What is it? Witch doctor.
Oh, the witch doctor, yeah.
Okay, the witch doctor is the most... I understand it's powerful, but it's the most annoying to get to level up, I have to say.
I've never played a witch doctor. I really focus on wizard and demon hunter.
Dude, let me put it this way. You can do plagues, and it's like, maybe I'll hit the enemies? So one of them's frogs. And these frogs do a lot of damage if they hit the enemy in that direction, but they hop in opposite, they hop in different directions.
Sure, of course.
So it's like the most frustrating thing to level up in the, like, ever. But yeah. So, anyways, you guys will catch us, get nuts, and kill some fucking demons next Wednesday.
Yeah. Join us on Twitch at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. We are at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter and Facebook, as well as Instagram or heroespodcasts.com. You can find our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, and Spreaker, as well as pretty much anywhere else that you get your podcasts. So we hope that you enjoyed listening. We'll catch you guys later.
Gamer Heroes is a part of the Heroes Podcast Network. The show host is myself, John Zerwinski, and Derek Mayer. The theme song is by Flying Killer Robots. You can find us as well as the other Heroes Podcast shows at heroespodcast.com, as well as on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, check us out there, Google Play, and anywhere you can use an RSS feed. Follow us on social media, shameless plug, at Heroes Podcasts, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. Or, if you're old school and you just want to email us, you can get us at contact@heroespodcasts.com. Game on.